2.0 Key Findings. 2.1 Context. For roughly 10 years now, publishers and consumers have been exposed to dramatic predictions about the emergence of electronic books and the decline of print editions. A 2000 PricewaterhouseCoopers study forecasted that e-books would account for 26% of the unit sales for books by 2004. Also in 2000, Anderson Consulting predicted that one out of every 10 books would be published electronically by 2005. With the benefit of hindsight, these projections seem wildly optimistic. These early forecasts, and many others like them, have encouraged a fair degree of caution, even skepticism, throughout the book trade. Industry observers have cried wolf about the imminent digital future so many times that many publishers have simply learned to pay less attention over the years. We have to acknowledge this skepticism even as we observe that we are writing this report at a time of rapid change in the book business. The widespread adoption of broadband internet has created a new mass medium, one that supports a host of related technologies and that has triggered important changes in how we read and write. The internet is sometimes politely referred to as a disruptive technology in that it can reshape both behavior and markets. The publishing industry has already realized some of the opportunities and challenges of an internet-enabled marketplace, and experience tells us that in this environment, change can be fast and far-reaching. In short, the book market is rearranging itself as we speak, and there is little doubt that there is something important happening in the world of digital publishing. First, consumer and institutional markets for digital book content are growing quickly. Anyone younger than 30 years old today, that is, in 2008, has grown up using computers, and only the oldest in this group can remember a time when the internet was not a mainstream medium for everyday communication, entertainment, schoolwork, or shopping. These digital natives are ready consumers of non-print formats and are much more at ease with living off a screen as opposed to the printed page than those of us who are older. The Economist recently observed that while predictions of the paperless office have been with us since the 1960s, what actually happened was that global consumption of office paper more than doubled in the last two decades of the 20th century, as digital technology made printing cheaper and easier than ever before. Footnote: not dead, just resting. The Economist, October 11 to 17, 2008. End of footnote. The article continues to observe that in 2008, the prediction of a paperless office seems to be coming true at last. American office workers' use of paper has actually been in decline since 2001. The explanation seems to be sociological rather than technological. A new generation of workers who have grown up with email, word processing, and the internet feel less of a need to print documents out than their older colleagues did. Offices are still far from paperless, but the trend is clear. At the other end of the demographic spectrum, Canada's aging population means that a growing number of consumers will prefer or require non-print formats to help counter sight disabilities or other print reading challenges that inhibit their ability to use conventional print editions. To take a broader view of accessibility for a moment, we have seen cases, notably in the U.S., where the introduction of standards and supporting legislation for accessible materials has been an important driver for digitization in book publishing. For example, the NIMAS, footnote, National Instructional Materials Accessibility Standard, end of footnote, standard has been nationally adopted in the U.S. and was passed into law in 2004. Within the NIMAS framework, kindergarten to grade 12 schools throughout the country follow a formal XML-based standard for accessible learning materials. The related legislation for NIMAS requires publishers selling print materials to U.S. schools to also provide digital source files to a national repository for conversion to various Braille, ebook, and audio formats and circulation to print-disabled students. Beyond the effect of standards or legislation for the print-disabled population, the mass market's adoption of a new generation of internet-enabled portable devices has accelerated consumption of digital content both online and via download. These cell phones, smartphones, and PDAs, most notably Research in Motion's BlackBerry and the Apple iPhone, support electronic reading with new degrees of ease of use, portability, and quality of reading experience. Similarly, the rapid adoption of purpose-built reading devices, especially the Sony Reader and the Amazon Kindle, footnote, as of October 2008, the Sony Reader is available in a number of markets, including Canada. However, the Amazon Kindle is only available in the U.S., end of footnote, has given ebooks real traction in consumer markets for the first time. At the same time, thanks to their increasingly digital production workflows, virtually all publishers can easily generate some level of ebook file from their native production files. Year over year, the volume of digitized backlist titles, i.e., older titles for which suitable digital production files no longer exist, is also growing exponentially. As we will see below, Canadian publishers have begun to assemble the first major collection of digital Canadian content and are poised to add significantly to this archive. Finally, the digital marketplace has given rise to new sales channels and new types of trading partners that present publishers with additional opportunities to bring their digital editions to market. There are now major consumer platforms for digital book content online, including Amazon for ebooks and Audible for audiobooks. These consumer-facing platforms are aggregating tens of thousands of titles in one convenient location and introducing totally different pricing and distribution models in the process. Similarly, the institutional market, including both academic and public libraries, is now widely served by a group of specialized library service providers that are also aggregating large digital collections on behalf of their library clients. These service providers, such as OverDrive and NetLibrary, have introduced new collection models and sophisticated tools for both librarians and library patrons that support the circulation of digital books within libraries. While a degree of pace of change remains uncertain, there is therefore little doubt that the landscape for writing, publishing, and reading is changing around us. This report adopts the following viewpoints with regard to this emerging marketplace. 1. A shift to digital publishing will not be felt equally among all types of publishers or categories of books. A recent BookNet Canada study, footnote, Impact of Ebooks and Digital Delivery on the Canadian Book Industry, BookNet Canada, end of footnote, analyzed 50 subject categories and identified several that were most likely to adopt digital editions, i.e., to the point that ebooks or other digital formats might account for a meaningful share of unit sales. The categories that scored positive for digital adoption in the BookNet analysis included travel, medical, computers, law, reference, foreign language study, business, and fiction, among others. 2. The same BookNet study points out that relatively modest shifts to digital editions would still likely create a dramatic effect within the book trade, and highlights that the experience of the music industry showed that even a small shift in sales, digital sales made up 10% of musical sales in 2008, according to market research firm Instat, can significantly rearrange the value chain. 3. Whether a print or digital edition, the economics of cultural production still apply. A publisher may spend many months and tens of thousands of dollars to acquire, edit, design, and make a new title ready for press. However, once the presses start turning, additional copies of the book can be created for a few dollars each. This cost structure is even more acute in the case of digital editions, where the cost of a copy circulated online might even be $0, or very close to it. However, because of the upfront investment required to bring a new edition to market in any format, publishers will continue to publish only those titles and formats for which they feel there is a prospect for a reasonable return. 4. A growing market share for digital editions does not herald the death of the printed book. Instead, we expect the market's adoption of digital content to be more nuanced than a simple choice of one over the other. The end result is likely to be that reading behavior will be more varied than it has been, even in the recent past, as people read print editions and various types of digital editions, including a growing range of audiobooks.